Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey people, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is season 4 of Better Let Me Tell You.
Yeah, he was like, dude, you don't have to finish this.
Well, listeners, for those of you who are just tuning in, you may notice that yet again, that is not Darian's voice. That is not DJ. However, unlike last week where, you know, it was a much more estrogen-filled voice, this week, we have another guest host with us. We have Dave Ulloa from the Geek Bro Network. I mean, you're on how many podcasts over there? You know, it's
officially right now, yeah. One.
Oh, okay, okay.
Mount Geekmore. I do occasionally
I feel
come
like
in.
You pop up every time I listen to the other ones.
Every now and then, I'll be on one of them.
Okay.
And we are bringing Shiver, a horror movie podcast, back. So
my heart just went a little pitter-patter.
So start looking for that. That was a lot of fun, and I didn't have time for it anymore.
Okay, that's
unfortunately.
Fair. That's fair.
And we're bringing it back, and in a big way. So we're starting with Rosemary's Baby. So, classic by one of the most amazing directors and awful human beings ever.
Because you can be both.
Chinatown is one of my favorite movies.
Right. Not everybody can be Hitler, who was a horrible human being and a shitty artist.
Right.
Not everyone can do both, you know?
No.
It's
no,
right. Right.
No. Yeah.
So, this is episode 162. Thank you again for joining us. So, you know, I actually want to. Oh, of course, man. It's your first time on the show.
Sorry, you caught me mid swig.
So that's okay. We are drinking, guys, and so there will be swigs heard aplenty, I'm sure. So the first thing I actually wanted to bring up was earlier this week. It's actually great because this is the third time I see you in 1 week.
It is.
And yeah. That's so rare. And it's like,
we usually go a couple weeks without seeing each
other. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then just, you know, we'll text or whatever. But it's like, ooh, I got you on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday
this week.
It is nice. You should do more often. But Monday, you, I, and your wife, Stephanie, mm-hmm. went to go see In the Heights.
Yes.
And I think I speak for both of us when I say we all really, really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I, for one, was, I'm not going to pretend that I wasn't crying the entire time.
I'm not going to pretend either.
And it was just like, there were points where I was just smiling and it was just like tears, like my eyes just, the water was falling out. I wasn't crying actively.
They were happy tears.
It was happy tears, yeah. You know? Well, I don't know if you've heard, but you know, we can't have nice things.
I have heard this. Yeah,
you have heard. So, in the world of, you know, this is why we can't have nice things. You know, In the Heights premiered last week. Probably fair to say, if not the one of the biggest, you know, predominantly Latino casts in a movie.
I can't think
in a Hollywood movie, shall we say?
I can't think of another one with a larger Latino cast.
Right, right. I mean, I think, and it's a cross representation. I mean, you've got, you know, all ethnicities and.
I heard at least 25 different accents just back and forth with the right. Spanish that was in there. Mm-hmm. But of course, like I said, we can't have nice things. So literally the Monday after the box office, and I'm looking for the story in and of itself, but I will go ahead and paraphrase. Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is probably one of the most benign human beings on the face of this earth. Like, yeah. I don't even think he understands how to court controversy, right? Like, he's just always seems like he's one step away from just going like, oh, shucks, you know, right? Like, he just seems so...
Yeah, he's very wholesome.
Very wholesome, yeah. Like, you know, he's not in a fake way either. You know, he just seems like very genuine and the like. Well, apparently he's come under criticism because... In the Heights, according to some, and I've never lived in Washington Heights, so I can't speak to that, but saying that it's not an accurate representation of the neighborhood, it, in essence, was kind of like a whitewashing of the neighborhood, and, you know, it was not a true cross-representation of the Latino, Latina, Latinx, whatever we want to call it, Latin, because their word already existed, ladies and gentlemen, in that there was not enough Afro-Latinos, you know, featured and represented and at least in predominant roles, shall we say. Now, I have my thoughts and opinions on that. My first one is, you know what? Sure. Yes, we need more representation. Being Latino is not just one thing, you know?
Right.
There are Asian Latinos. There are Black Latinos. There are, you know, this girl. I can't think of her name right now. Anna Tyler. She was played Magic in the New Mutants. She was
in Anna Queens. Tyler Joy.
Right.
Yeah.
She's British. She grew up in Britain, but she's actually Argentina.
Right.
So I mean, you know, and that's not a good example because she's like blonde and blue eyed. But still, you know, we come in all.
But you're talking about diversity here.
Diversity, yeah. Exactly. You know, there's a lot of it everywhere. With all that said. It should be represented, but my gut was, when I first heard about it, to basically tell those people a big fuck you. Not because it's not needed, but because, you know, here's one person making one project that unfortunately is having to represent us all in a way that is not, it's just not, you know, it's not fair. To ask that of any project, right? And also, I'm also a big a proponent of, like, you don't get to criticize the stuff unless you make stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, where were you with the representation? Like, it's very easy to jump on Twitter and just tweet and be like, I'm mad about everything. And it's like, well, what are you doing about it?
Where's your musical with, you know, the Latino experience?
Right. Yeah. It's like, well, my thing is I just get mad and do stuff. So... I have a huge issue with it, and I want to read a tweet, ironically, a tweet thread from Wilson Cruz. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with Wilson Cruz. So he is actually currently starring in the latest Star Trek.
Discovery,
okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I
am familiar with who he is.
Yeah.
Just not by name.
Okay. He's probably best known for the groundbreaking role of Ricky on My So-Called Life many, many, many moons ago. And so this is what he had to say. He said, one of the issues with having so little Latinx representation in media is that we're disappointed when it fails to reflect every aspect and nuance of our varied and complex culture. No one movie or TV show will ever be able to convey that, which is why we need more made by more of us. And once again, Twitter lives up to its intolerance for nuance. So let me say this. I didn't say I disagreed with folks that are saying the film should have reflected the community more accurately. I wholeheartedly agree, but we shouldn't be so disappointed and pour all of our hopes of representation into one project if there were more of us in media, which is why a call for more representation created by and for more of us is one of the answers to the problem. So I just, I couldn't agree with Wilson Cruz more. I feel like it's so annoying to me. It's like, why can't we just be happy? And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm settling for the crumbs, right? But why can't we be happy when something so joyous and, you know, and so beautiful and authentic and positive comes out? You know, I just don't know. I don't know if you have the answers, but I mean, what's your thoughts on?
I certainly don't have the answers, whatever the answers are. Right. If the answers were simple...
You would have them.
Then I'd have them. And then I could sell them.
Okay. And we'd make such a profit.
Yes.
We would just do Dave and Ish's answers. That's what we would call it.
It'll be a really short podcast.
It would.
So we won't have any of them.
But it'd be monetized.
Yeah.
So it would be, we'd make some, I mean, 10 cents is still money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So here, my thoughts are that they kind of mimic Cruz's thoughts in that I do think that there was a lack of diversity in the cast. And even though these were actors and actresses that came from you know, all different, you know, Latin countries.
Right.
I
don't know. I have an issue with that, too.
You look on screen and they were mostly white, whitish, right? White passing.
I mean, you can make the argument that Dasha Polanco being Dominican was probably a little, you know, on the darker spectrum, as was Nina.
When the only dark skinned character you have is Benny,
is black character
who is black, right?
He's not Latino.
He's not Latin,
right?
The only named character you have,
true, right? And that's fair
because there are, and this is something that that Chu, the director, said in an interview.
John Chu.
He said that there are black Latinos in the background. Kind of not really helping his point.
Right. Well, I mean...
But here's what I think. You're never going to please everyone.
Yeah, number one.
Any project that is completed by Latinos, for Latinos, but that can be appreciated by everyone, is a success.
Yeah.
Because our stories are not what's popularly put out there. Right. So it's a resounding success. On top of the fact that, you know, from a critical point of view, it's been it's been widely acclaimed.
Absolutely.
Right. However, I think to totally discredit the there's not enough diversity in here is also wrong, because by saying okay, we've taken a step forward.
Right.
This is what we're hearing. We need to do.
We need to do take better.
Another step forward, right? Progress almost never happens in great leaps.
Never.
It's usually in steps.
Yeah.
You know, very rarely is it one great leap where it's like, oh wow, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, you know, this life changing.
Right, right, right.
So, I think ultimately this is something that needs to be appreciated and loved for what it is, not for what it isn't. And I say that about any movie.
Yeah, yeah.
These are some of the arguments that we have on Mount Geekmore.
Yes.
Right? And I think that, you know, should we cancel In the Heights? Should we cancel Lin-Manuel or
God,
John
no.
Chu?
Who else is going to make our stories?
Not. Right.
Like, I mean, unfortunately, right now, Lin-Manuel Miranda has the weight of the whole Latino community in Hollywood on his back. Like, you know, occasionally he'll... You know, when he gets tired, he'll shoulder it a little bit to Gloria Calderon Kellett, who is the creator of, you know, The One Day at a Time. And she's got like 14 pilots now going at Amazon, which all have representation of Latino culture. But it's like, okay, we can't keep expecting these two people to just kind of like, all right, throw another one on my back. Right. You know, it's
when you have a cast full of Latinos and the only household name is Jimmy Smits, there's a problem. And it's not a problem with the movie. It's a problem with Hollywood.
But in all fairness, he's been in the industry forever too.
Yeah, but
I mean, he was on NYPD Blue. I mean, he was on. He has done, to his credit, he's a name because he's put in the hours.
True, but so has Daphne Ruben Vega.
You know how you know we love Daphne. Hi, Daphne.
And I don't think that she's a household name.
I would agree 100%. She should be, but she's not.
Dasha Polanco, who you mentioned earlier, I mean, she's got years of television work under her belt.
Yep.
You'd be hard-pressed to get...
Say that name out loud, see who... Yeah.
You know, even Stephanie Beatriz, who is, you know, on one of the biggest sitcoms on television currently.
Can we talk about how disconcerting it was to hear, like, her non-Rosa voice?
It was weird.
It was weird.
It was weird. it was very weird because I was equal parts... attracted and repulsed. I had no idea how to feel, which is kind of how I feel about Rosa Diaz. So
right, but at least with Rosa Diaz, like the voice kind of tells you she's like she doesn't want you in.
Yeah,
she's back not trying
off,
to let you in.
Back
yeah,
off
yeah.
before I break every bone in your body.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. But it was that was an interesting part. No, but I, you know, again, I agree with you. And so, you know, hopefully as a result of this movie, you know, these actors will have a broader name recognition, or just mm-hmm. or be able to get more work. Let's not even talk about name recognition, right? Like, let's kind of go back to what you're saying about, you know, it's baby steps, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're in this movie that's got fantastic reviews. Now, when this entire, theoretically, hopefully, if Hollywood has any sense, these actors will go out for new roles and they'll be like, you know, oh my God, yeah, you were in The Heights. In The Heights was such a great critical success. Okay, we'll give you a shot. Okay, we'll give you a shot. And that builds and builds and builds. And these are actors who I, you know, I don't know them personally for the most part, but I do feel confident in saying that these are actors who, if they do continue to gain ground, they do start to produce projects. These, based on what I know of them on, you know, their social media profiles or their other projects that they've done, like podcasts and such, they will look for a way to bring more Latino talent with them because they are very big on that representation. So maybe I'm just a big picture kind of person and I'm not just looking at the movie as like, well, here's everything that the movie failed to do. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it as like, here's everything that the movie did, which BT Dubs, nobody else was doing.
Right.
Right? Like, maybe I'm just a naive, you know, sentimental, optimistic, you know, doo-doo head. I don't know.
I was on board until you said doo-doo head.
Well, that's because you have, you know, a kid. And he probably says that all the time. And so you're like, yeah, no, I can't agree with you when you sound like my son. So, no. I hear you. And on top of all that, la pobre Rita Moreno is now being dragged into this.
Well, because she defended Miranda. And rightfully so, I think.
I mean, he also produced her documentary.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Rita Moreno, EGOT. And been in the, she's almost 90. There's a reason she's still around. She ain't no dummy, okay?
No.
But she knows she knows what she's doing. And again, love her. Rita, call us. just saying. Fun fact, we reached out to her people and we got a thank you, but she's really busy at this time. So you know what? How many EGOTs have you been rejected by? All right? That's what I'm going to say.
Like, yeah.
You know, come talk to me when that happens.
Looking on what was accomplished and exactly. Not what wasn't.
See? Positive angle, right? Yeah. Most people would be like, I'd be like, no, I've been rejected by an EGOT. This is, I'm putting this on us. I didn't have it on my bucket list, and now it's there.
I'm making moves, man.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, I'm not going anywhere, but I'm making moves.
It's like the Running Man. You know, you're still in that one spot for the rest of your life. Anyway, so I wanted to bring something else up, and I think actually I'm bringing it up, but I'm actually cheating because you kind of mentioned it yesterday. I wanted to bring up because we're both fanboys, mm-hmm. and there's been a little bit of a I don't want to say controversy because that's such an overused word. There's a little bit of a kerfuffle amongst the fanboy community.
I like kerfuffle.
This little known fact, I'm 1/8 Australian, so I use kerfuffle a lot. No, it's just a misspent youth listening to Kylie Minogue.
Nothing is ever misspent when it comes to Kylie Minogue.
That is why I love you. Yeah. That is why I love you, because you're sitting here drinking whiskey, saying beautiful things about Kylie Minogue, and we're about to talk about comics.
You can't possibly say anything negative about Kylie
Minogue. I know. How like, I feel like if you don't like Kylie
International
Minogue...
International music superstar.
Pop rocket.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And not bad as an actress.
No, she's cute. She gets the job done.
Exactly.
She's not trying to be Meryl Streep.
No.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And we have one
and
already.
That's why it works.
We have a Meryl Streep. We don't need another.
Right.
But
you hear that, Glenn Close?
You hear? Yeah. Look, Glenn. I don't care how much, you know, hip hop you claim to know at the Oscars. We already have a Meryl. But it's sad they're already replacing Glenn Close with Emma Stone. Hollywood does keep getting younger and younger. So no, what I was saying is, you know, we're both fanboys.
Yeah.
Big. I mean, I'm looking at your shirt right now. I freaking love this shirt, guys. It's a take on the Incredible Hulk number 13, I think, is the issue where that introduces Wolverine.
I think it's 181.
Okay, sorry. So you're a bigger nerd than I. Thanks.
Well, I'm a bigger Marvel fanboy.
That's true. That's
but
true.
Now that I said that, I do want to verify. All right.
Okay.
Trust, all but right. Verify.
So instead of having, you know, Hulk and Wendigo going at it, it's Jason and Freddy, and I think Michael Myers is in the corner in the Wolverine role. So I just adore that shirt. But
thank you.
But this week saw, you know, people get into a little bit of a tizzy over something Batman
You were right.
Yeah, it is 181.
181. That Batman may or may not be into. Would you care to elaborate on this part of fandom?
So the kerfuffle has come about because the producers of the Harley Quinn animated series spoke about how DC higher-ups, the suits, right? The powers it be, nixed the idea of Batman going down on Catwoman.
Okay.
And
we all know cats are self-cleaning.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and just the idea of, you know, Batman having Catwoman's cat is just, you know.
There's a lot to unpack there. Because a bat is a rodent. Cats eat rodents.
Yeah.
I don't even know where I'm going with this.
Except this time the rodent is eating the feline.
Yes.
It's
I don't even know where I'm going with this, but I will follow you down the rabbit hole.
It's beautiful. All right. The symbolism is amazing.
There's a lot of like interspecies stuff going on there.
I'm okay with it.
And you know what? It's about harmony.
Right.
Animals should get along.
It's what makes the world go around.
It is. Cunnilingus.
It's cunnilingus.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, we'll throw fellatio in there.
Right. Well, this is true. This is true. You have to be reciprocal.
Exactly.
I feel. Yes.
Yeah. So DC's, suits said absolutely not. They gave two reasons. One, Batman wouldn't do that.
That was an actual reason. They said Batman would not do that.
They said a superhero doesn't do that.
But they're not very superheroic, are they?
Which I'm thinking, like, fuck, like, I'm just a man. I'm not even a hero, right? Much less a superhero, you know? So, like, a superhero can do anything I can do, you know? And then there's...
And probably better.
And
just by virtue of their...
Absolutely.
Just they're superheroes, right?
Peak physical condition.
Exactly, exactly. Know? I'd be sad if they didn't.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah.
And then the other reason, which to me is the more upsetting one... is because, you know, that you can argue whether it's canon or not canon or
fair,
whatever.
Fine.
But to me, it's DC at its most DC-ness.
Okay.
We can't sell action figures if Batman is going down on Catwoman. And to me, that upset me so much because for the last 15 years... what DC has been selling on film is a darker, more adult version of all the comic books that we loved as kids.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, sure, you can take this back to Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams in the 70s darkening up Batman, but it was still not something that was adult in nature.
They're actively courting an R rating now with these movies.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Let's be 100%. Suicide Squad, R rating. Mm-hmm. You know, the Snyder Cut, if they could have gotten an X, they would have. Like, you know, if they could have figured out a way to do it by maybe putting a scene of Batman going down on Catwoman,
right?
You know, they would have done it. They're so thirsty for that adult audience, to your point.
Edginess does not equal quality.
Can you repeat that?
Edginess does not equal quality.
Can you say it one more time?
Edginess does not equal quality.
Thank you, because I've been trying to convey that in my arguments with people who are just like, bro, the DC movies are so good. And I'm like, I don't even know how to talk to you right now because you sound like a frat boy, and that's not going to end well for me having a coherent, cogent argument.
Right.
But I like that. You know, edginess does not...
Does not equal quality. And you can have something that is edgy.
Well, you can. Edgy. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can have something that is edgy and has quality. But those two things don't necessarily go hand in hand. Deadpool comes to mind. You know, that is certainly edgy. But...
tongue in cheek as hell.
But it's tongue in cheek. It's very aware of what it is.
It knows what it's doing.
And it plays into that joke, which is ultimately why, like, I would prefer to watch Batman Forever to watching The Dark Knight Rises. Or watching really any of the new DC movies with the exception of maybe Man of Steel.
Oh, you liked Man of Steel?
I did, yeah. Now, I wouldn't watch it over the first two Superman movies.
Okay, but right. That's fair.
Yeah,
that's
fair. And here's the thing, right? When you think of, you know, classic superhero movies, Superman, the 1978 Superman, right. comes up at least once in a conversation.
Superman, as it should.
Superman doesn't throw a single punch in that movie. Not one. I was watching with my son the other day.
I'm trying to remember.
And I was shocked. I'm like, Superman doesn't hurt anyone. All he does is save people. That's all he did in the movie. All he did was save people. You know, so you can make a great superhero story about what it means to have power,
right,
without getting edgy, right? Now, to go back to the creative team's decision to try to have Batman eat out Catwoman, which is edgy, right?
Right, right. But this is also a cartoon show.
But it's also a role reversal where it's putting the power literally between Catwoman's legs, right? She's the one with power, and Batman is the one who's vulnerable.
Right. And for those who aren't familiar with this animated series, it's on HBO Max. It's the Harley Quinn animated series. It's very subversive. Like, it's very almost South Park in its, it's adult humor. It's got gross out gags, and so it's not like it's a Batman the Animated Series style. No, I'm good. Scenario where all of a sudden they've just got this happening for the sake of it. I mean, this is, you know, this is a cartoon where they curse and the jokes are, you know, very Family Guy, South Park. So that is right. The tone of the show.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like edgy for the sake of edgy, shall we say. It fits within the right. universe they've built for themselves.
And this would not have been the first time sexuality came into the show.
Exactly. Well, the whole second season, I think, is basically revolves around Harley and Ivy and their budding relationship, as it right. were.
So I kind of think it was just bad form by DC to kind of say, hey, well, we got to sell action figures.
It's a business at the end of the day, which it sucks to say that out loud, but as a marketer, I get it.
It does.
And, I agree with it, but I get it.
It's their intellectual property, and they can do with it whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right? However, does an image of Batman eating out Catwoman stop a 6-year-old from saying, "Mom, I want a Batman action figure"?
Well, also, the 6-year-old should not be watching the Harley Quinn animated series to begin with.
That's my point. These two things are so distantly related.
Yeah.
Like, that 6-year-old has no idea what's going on.
Right. Also, we've already all seen Batman's penis.
Right.
Yeah. For those who don't know, there was a comic book.
Also, well done, Mr. Wayne.
Talk about a batarang. So DC has this adult line called Black Label where they do more mature stories. And in this particular one, you know, Batman's like, he's gotten home from one of his adventures and he's taking off his bat suit, you know, the costume. And they're showing him in various states of undress. And it's not that you can see. I mean, you can see it, but it was obscured by, like, shadow. Like, it was supposed to be darkened. But it wasn't darkened well enough.
And this made it to print.
The reprints have since darkened it out on the digital and everything. They've censored it.
I don't know what the deal with the penis is. Because
I don't even know how to explain it to you. What do you not know about the penis? What is it about?
No, I mean
it?
With censoring the penis.
Oh, okay,
I mean.
Got it.
No, I don't understand why we can see breasts, why we can see vulva.
Without getting too much into it, you know why? I mean, it's patriarchy. I mean, like let's just call it what it is. Like it sucks. We're two guys here talking about that, but it's the truth.
But I just don't know why it matters.
Oh. You're talking to somebody who goes to nude beaches. I don't care one way or the other. Like, right. But you know, I know why. You know what I mean? Like from a societal standpoint, I know why. Because men, you know, don't want to be seen vulnerable. They don't want, and so to be naked is to be vulnerable. And so, you know, to see a woman's breasts is she's there for the taking. She's naked. Look at her. You know, lust after it. A man should not be viewed that way. A man should be viewed as just powerful and in a position of power. And the minute that you're stripped of your clothing, theoretically, you're no longer in a position of power. I have a few arguments why that's not true. Right. But, you know, but that's a conversation for another podcast.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. And of course, in true fashion, you know, now there's a whole online, you know, petition, let the bat eat the cat, hashtag making the rounds.
I think the bat should eat the cat. And do it while his penis is out, too.
Just all of it.
Yes.
And, you know, just have everybody watch. Screw it. Let's just make us a full... Let's just like, balls
what,
to the wall.
What really bothers me about that is... I don't know if you saw the Killing Joke animated film that they did a couple years ago, which I did not care for.
I'm not a fan of that as a story.
The original story I thought
and
was...
I've come to that decision in recent years, I will say. For those who don't know, The Killing Joke is the story where essentially Batgirl becomes crippled by the Joker. Mm-hmm. And again, for those of you who need a spoiler alert, this thing's like 30 years old, so catch up.
I believe it's 1988.
Yeah. So it's been a minute. Yeah. And so they took that comic book and they turned it into one of the DC Direct, you know, video releases,
right?
And in recent history, so.
But they added some scenes at the beginning of the movie where they gave Batman and Batgirl a relationship.
Did not like that.
And Batman is significantly older than Batgirl. You could say that would be like akin to like a supervisor or a boss taking advantage of his employee.
Is Alfred HR in this scenario? Because I feel like that's the only way this works.
I hope so. Because if anyone can bitch slap some sense into
Bruce Wayne, it's Alfred Pennyworth. Alfred. Yeah.
And so they were okay with putting Batman in a relationship with a significantly younger girl.
Yeah, let's say at the very least 10 years. Like, let's say Bruce is 30, Barbara's 20. I'm saying, let's give that benefit of the doubt.
Okay, yeah. That was okay, but him eating out, like, an equal.
Well,
that's not...
I have bigger issues with it because Barbara and Dick Grayson are canon in my book. So yes. To put her with Bruce Wayne is tantamount to sacrilege. But mm-hmm. That's also because I literally have a Nightwing tattoo on my forearm and a Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman on my back. So clearly I worship at a very odd church.
not that odd.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my kind of church.
So yes, let the bat eat the cat. Apparently we'll see where this goes. Again, it's just... Everything becomes a movement now. Everything becomes a hashtag now. It's so ridiculous. Like, anytime somebody has un pelota basal, it's like to the Twitter, you know?
Yeah.
And like,
I do think people need to find something in life that fulfills them. You know, take up gardening. Become a haberdasher.
Haberdashery. That's a lost art.
I've always wanted to open a haberdashery.
Have you really?
Yes. My dream is actually when I retire. To open a haberdashery.
Now, for those who don't know, what is a haberdashery?
A haberdashery is kind of like a one-stop shop outfitter for men's clothing. So you can stop in there. You can pick up suits. You can pick up casual shirts. You can get slacks. You can get jeans, shoes, socks, underwear, hats. Anything that you need.
I always picture lots of hats at a haberdashery.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was always what drew me to it was the hats.
The hats.
You know, so I wanted to have like a custom hat maker in shop that could, you know, do whatever you wanted. You know, and have,
so it's
have
almost
a tailor
like a,
in
it's almost
shop.
Like a store like for Diddy, but that the rest of us can go to.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, it would not be cheap because everything is going to be, you know, custom made.
It's bespoke.
To you. It is bespoke, right? Yeah. That is the term.
Yeah.
So it would be bespoke. And I know exactly where I'd open it.
Ooh, where?
Celebration.
The Disney neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah. In downtown Celebration, they have like this beautiful, this beautiful little like main street on the water. And there's always a shop or two that, you know, is looking to rent because the rent must be high.
It has to be, yeah.
But
see, I have a place where I would recommend you do it.
Ideally,
though.
That's where I'd like it.
See, I wouldn't recommend Celebration.
Where?
I would recommend Blue Ridge, Georgia. Downtown Blue Ridge, Georgia, okay. Because it is a very sleepy looking town, but it has a lot of money in that little town. And the reason I know there's a lot of money is because A, there's quite a few banks. Mm-hmm. And B, there are way too many boutique candle shops.
Oh, yes. There must be money there.
There's money there, okay? There's like four in just the downtown strip alone. I'm like, okay, there's not even that many Starbucks on one block, okay? And you guys are, it's boutique candles.
Yeah.
So, and you know, haberdasheries are not cheap, so I would suggest
you
look into it there.
Yeah, I actually tried making a couple of hats once.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of what?
You know, fedoras and, you know, straw hats and stuff.
How'd it go?
It went well. If I were to...
I wouldn't even know how to start.
I actually had friends
in
the industry.
Who were haberdashers?
Yes, they were hatters.
This is also the most anyone has ever said the word haberdashery in 2021. Ever in 2021.
I think this was the first time in all of 2021 that it was said. Not even the United Haberdashers Front has uttered the word yet. They've typed it in emails.
Yes, they're social media, of course. But
yeah, but saying out loud.
No, this is the first. So you're welcome. You're welcome, Association of Haberdashers.
Yeah, no, I knew a few hatters.
Were they mad?
Yeah. You know where that comes from?
No.
Hatters used to use mercury to do fine finishing on the felt. And so they'd close themselves into their workshop and use the mercury.
Of course they'd go fucking nuts.
And so, yeah, with the fumes that would come off of these hats with the mercury on them, that's what would literally drive them crazy. So they were going mad.
And that is the learn portion of today's episode, ladies and gentlemen.
The more you know.
That is freaking awesome. So, okay, well, I want to transition to one more topic before we get to this week's guest, which is Oscar Quesada from the Arch Center to talk to us about the community dance for Pride Month.
Nice.
But, you know, speaking of Pride and, you know, and the Arch Center, essentially by hosting this, it's their fifth year doing it. And, you know, they've definitely demonstrated that they are an ally. And as we know, Pride Month has not been something that has come about very easily. You know, it's something that... It's been a struggle.
It's been hard fought.
It's been hard fought, and you know, here it is, and we're in it. But which kind of leads me to just I don't know if it was yesterday or today, so forgive me. President Joe Biden actually just signed into law the Juneteenth National Independence Day Act.
Yeah,
officially recognizing June 19th, which is known as Juneteenth, as a actual federal holiday. Mm-hmm. And for those of our listeners who don't know, I think we've mentioned Juneteenth before on the show. It's a date, you know, June 19th is it's originating in Galveston, Texas in 1866, and it signifies basically the day that of June 19th, 1865, the announcement of General Order No. 3 by the Union Army General Gordon Granger proclaiming freedom for slaves in Texas. And I believe, and because you're smarter than I am, I believe Texas was the last, I believe Texas was maybe the last state that had, you know, slavery in it. So by proclaiming it outlawed in Texas, that was like the date that it just officially was no longer recognized at a governmental level, shall we say.
So my understanding of it is once...
See, he's about to show why he's smarter than me.
once the South, the Confederacy loses the war, right?
Y'all lost, get over it.
The Emancipation Proclamation makes any slave free.
Right.
So
yeah, but there were still laws on the books.
All of these slaves, but federal law trumps state's law.
You wouldn't know it nowadays, but sure.
Yeah, right. yeah, especially here. So it always supersedes it. So a state can go can do more than what the federal law mandates, but it can't do less.
Right.
So the federal government is saying all slaves are freed.
Right.
A state cannot say yeah, but
not the ones who were brought over the last 3 years. Yeah.
So unfortunately, in the 1860s, there is no mass communication system. So
they didn't have Insta?
I think it was in the works.
Okay. They only had Friendster.
Only Friendster.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And to download your music on Napster, it took like all day. And if someone picked up the phone.
Oh, heaven forbid. Yeah.
Mom!
Oh my God.
I gotta download this Metallica album again. Lars Ulrich is gonna kill me.
And then you would download it and it would not be usable because it was just some like random spam bullshit. But anyway.
Yeah. Those were the days. Yeah. These kids don't know how good they are.
They don't. Back in my day, you know, I had to walk 40 miles back and forth in the snow in Miami because it snowed back then, you know, just to get, you know, a single. Okay. So calm down with your iTunes and your Spotify.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, back to the
Anyway, the federal government sent the army to go and basically
make sure
that all the slaves were made aware of this. Okay. And so Galveston, Texas, was the last place that was that was informed of this. And so that's why it's celebrated. That's as far as I know. I could be wrong.
No, that sounds a hell of a lot more. I was just reading from Wikipedia. So that's a lot more you know, educated than what I was pulling from, which was half-assed as usual. but no, yeah. So I think it's, you know, obviously, you know, in last year alone, I feel like there was a lot of impetus for racial reckoning in this country, as anybody who's, you know, was alive last year would agree and see. And I think, you know, it's very telling. Like we were talking earlier, you know, with like Within the Heights, right? Where it's, you know, it's little things like this. You know, I know a lot of people are just like, you know, oh, well, whatever. What does it matter? Who cares? It's a, no, but it does. You know, it's the government. It's the government saying, like, you know what? We hear you. And we're going to do whatever our small part is. And a lot of times people forget, and maybe it's because, you know, when you are the majority, you forget what representation and what acknowledgement actually means, because you're always acknowledged.
Right.
To have somebody say, like, no, no, this thing, this date that you have celebrated, because Juneteenth, in my consciousness, has only come to mind in the last maybe like 5 or 6 years. But the more I read up on it, it's like, you know, black people in government have had their little, you know, their gatherings to kind of, you know, commemorate it and celebrate it for years. And again, I'm not black. Unfortunately, because I'm not black, I just didn't know it. It's not part of my history. Let's layer on the fact that I'm first generation. So it's really not part of my history. You know, like there's things about this country that I just don't know because my people haven't been here long enough to have that full, you know, knowledge. But to government come out and say, like, it is now a federal holiday. We acknowledge this. We recognize this as an important milestone in our country's history. That's a huge fucking deal.
I would think so. You know, in the same way that, you know, we honor veterans. You know, it's a big deal that you sacrifice life and limb to, you know, protect freedoms.
Yeah.
That should be honored.
Absolutely. Right?
So if we are celebrating...
if we're a country of freedom.
Right. If we are essentially celebrating the end of a civil war, the freedom of a very large portion of our population, right? Why can't that be celebrated officially?
Right. And again, we're a country that likes to, you know, trot out, you know, oh, we're a free country, free speech, free this, free that. It's like... Well then, yeah, let's continue celebrating every moment that a group gained that ability.
Yeah, it's a milestone.
That a group became free, you know, because again, you know, I'm not black. Anybody who's seen our Instagram knows this. You know, but there are swaths of, you know, of the black community who don't, it's not like they don't celebrate or acknowledge 4th of July, but don't feel the same way about the 4th of July as some other of us, you know, in this country do.
Right.
For their own legitimate reasons, right? But now they've got Juneteenth, where they feel this is the date that we as a quote-unquote black community gain that freedom.
This is our independence.
That you all celebrate on July 4th. Yeah. You know, now, does that create division in the country in terms of, I mean, that's a conversation for another day. But you know what? Another day acknowledging freedom for any group of people, I can't see the downside.
That can't be a bad thing.
It can't be a bad thing.
Right.
It can't. So on that note, you know, as I mentioned, we may have said once or twice, Pride Month. And, you know, here at Better Let Me Tell You, we love to support local. It's our biggest, you know, thing. We just love to put it in the forefront. So our local performing arts center, the Adrian Arsh Center, is, as I mentioned earlier, in its fifth year of celebrating their community dance. And that's, I'm very deliberate in how I pronounce it because it's not community. It's community, but then instead of the Y, it's T-E-A. So it's like a tea dance. For those of you who don't know what a tea dance is, it's, oh God, there's so much gay history that I would have to get into to explain the tea dance. In a nutshell, way back in the dark ages, you know, these gatherings would happen at quote unquote tea time, and they were clandestine. And so it was called the tea dance because if you said it was a gay dance, that was against the law. So, you know, it was this whole thing. And so to this day, we still in the gay community will have tea dances at clubs and gatherings where they usually happen between the hours of like, it usually starts at like 3. Mm-hmm. So it's usually from like 3 to 6. And it's like, that's a tea dance. So it's the community dance.
Gotcha.
And so, as I mentioned, I spoke with...
that was very succinct and to the point. Wasn't that bad?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I tried. I'm on my second whiskey, so it was a crapshoot. So we do have an interview with Oscar Quesada from the Arch Center talking to us about this year's community dance, as well as the history of why it started. And so without further ado, here's our interview with Oscar.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This is a public service announcement from the organization Fathers Who Want Better Gifts.
Hey, all. DJ here. On behalf of all the dads, this Father's Day, I'm here to say we want better gifts. We want better gifts. Come on. We all love being the best dad, but do we really need a mug telling us so? Or better yet, a tie? Thanks to quarantine, people are barely wearing pants, much less formal wear. Come on. But you know what makes a great gift? A pair of the perfect jeans. No. That's really their name. The perfect jean. These soft, stretchy, and durable jeans come in several fits and use high-quality materials and techniques. And let's face it, most of us dads gained a few pounds during COVID, so we could use a little room in our pants these days. And the best thing about giving the perfect jeans for Father's Day, you can save cash while doing it. Visit theperfectjean.nyc today and use PERO20 for 20% off your first order. That's right. Dad will be proud you saved 20% using PERO20 on his gift. So this Father's Day, get your perfect dad or dad figure the perfect jean and use code PERO20 for 20% off your first order. Happy Father's Day.
All right, mi gente. So as you know, we are in the midst of Pride Month. And, you know, I may have mentioned once or twice about me and my boyfriend and all the likes. But, you know, as part of Pride Month, there's a lot of ongoings here locally in Miami. And one of the biggest events is at the Adrian Arch Center with their community dance. I probably am saying that wrong. But if I am, the programming manager, Oscar Quesada, who's with us here today, will definitely correct me. So thank you for joining us, Oscar.
Thank you, Ish. And you said it correctly, community dance.
Okay.
It's exactly how you said it. It's a kind of a play on words there with, community being something that it's for the community, for everyone, and a tea dance that, you know, everyone knows and loves. And,
yes.
You know,
especially over last year, we all need a tea dance.
Every day needs to be your own personal tea dance.
Absolutely.
Not doing it right.
So, you know, on that note, I guess that's a great segue. Let's spill a little bit of the tea on the community dance. So Adrian Arsht, I know personally, I've gone to, obviously there wasn't one last year, a physical one, but I've gone to the last two prior to that. How long has, the Arsht Center been engaging in this event?
So we started in 2017. So it's been 5 years, and It did kind of start from a place that's, you know, very serious, and we know that this year is the 5-year anniversary of Pulse in Orlando and those tragic events, and so.
Was this a reaction to Pulse? This began kind of as a reaction to that?
Definitely, it was certainly a major part in that, that we felt as the Arch Center, as a place for our community, you know, the Performing Arts Center of Miami, we felt it was necessary to respond, do something, and, you know, offer something that we can gather the community for a moment of healing through art, through queer expression, and celebrating love, and most importantly, to stand against hate in all forms. And so since then, it's, you know, we've done it every year except for last year. We can talk about that later because it was COVID. But since then, it's become an annual tradition of the Arch Center. And we're honored to have, you know, the opportunity to provide a platform for local LGBTQ plus performers, artists, vendors, local businesses, as a place that they can come to the Arch Center and know that they're welcome no matter what.
Well, you guys definitely do a great job of that. And I have to say, what I love about the event, the past events anyway, because the future one still hasn't happened. It's coming up on June 26th, Saturday. What I loved about it was like the blend of local with, you know, quote unquote name artists, shall we say, you know, Christine W, Shangela, but then they're also sharing the stage with, you know, Carla Croqueta, DJ Hot Pants, you know, and it's this beautiful like blending or hybrid of, you know, yeah, the big names that we all love and, you know, get us on the dance floor and you know, and all that. But it's that queer community at a local grassroots level that you guys engage. You know, is that something that's continuing into this year, or how has that changed, I guess, now that we're emerging from the COVID of it all?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. That's been a major focus of community dance, and it's part of the community in the tea. And
this is the most we've ever said community in one episode, ladies and gentlemen. This is
yes. You're welcome. So it's been a primary focus of our programming is to be able to spotlight and support those artists that are South Florida based, not only in Miami, but in South Florida in general.
Yeah.
That identify as LGBTQ plus, that are allies to that community. And, you know, it's a core of our mission to engage and connect people from every corner of, I'm going to say it again, community.
I would say to drink, but some of our listeners listen in the car, so I don't want to be the cause for drunk driving. But otherwise, so, I would. I'd be like, take a shot. And, it's a community.
And so this year especially, it's entirely focused on the locals.
Okay.
Because of COVID and where we're at, we took the opportunity to change it up a bit, still keeping, you know, the essence of what this event is all about, which is about celebrating our Miami and South Florida diversity, artists, talent, bringing them to our audiences and introducing our audiences to them. So it's this, you know, symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, no, for a second there, I almost felt like RuPaul with like, you know, cunning, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. So, you know, obviously last year had its challenges, but again, this just goes, you know, to further solidify the Arch Center's commitment to really being that space, right? And I'll use the word ally. I think that's a proper word. Our center is definitely an ally to the LGBTQ plus community. But last year, you guys even executed, you know, a form of pride celebration, even though it wasn't physical. Can you remind some of our listeners of what that was? Because last year feels like it was 400 years ago. And, you know, time has no meaning anymore, right? It's like insane.
I have lost track of time. you know, being in programming where we're planning so many different seasons at the same time.
Oh, you're planning like months ahead in advance. So you're already like in December, aren't you? In your head.
I think I'm in 20, it might be 2023, I have no idea what year we're in, but yeah, you're right. Last year was different as well. We quickly shifted our programming efforts online, like so much of the world did, because our venues were shuttered, and we wanted to still be able to reach and connect to people in who follow the Arts Center to be entertained, to learn things. So yeah, we did an edition of our Arched at Home, which is a weekly newsletter every Thursday.
Subscribe if you haven't already, people.
Sign up to our mailing list. Buy something on my Etsy. So we did that, featuring, so it was a Pride edition to kick off the month of Pride of June with, again, local LGBTQ plus artists. And actually, a couple of those are going to be part of our in-person Pride celebration this year.
I love you for helping me do that transition. I was gonna set it up, but you did it on your own. Go for it.
Yeah. So, so this year, do you want me to talk a little bit about the event?
Absolutely. Talk about the event. Talk about as much as you want. It's an audio medium. I need people to hear.
Even though we're on audio, I'm so happy to be able to see you.
It really makes a big difference. When we first started, a little segue, when we first started, you know, the pandemic, it's like, okay, we'll do virtual interviews, and it was just audio. And it was hard because you can't read people and you don't know when, like, if somebody's pausing or if they've finished their sentence or if they went to the bathroom. Like, you know, you don't know what's going on. So, yes, I've decided I'm only doing, even though it's an audio podcast, I'm only doing video interviews because it's just, it takes a weight off of both ends. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you so much for doing this. So, this year's community dance is... Drink. Oh, yeah. If you're drinking, drink. We have something for everyone this year. And because it's post-COVID, we've changed up a bit and introducing some new things. And we're going to be doing it in two parts. So, yeah. So we've got this year. We're going to kick things off on Saturday, June 26th. At 3 p.m. with our outdoor new and free Pride Marketplace on the Thompson Plaza, which is the plaza where community dance has always taken place.
Which is beautiful, the way you guys just really deck it out and kind of get it just, it feels, I hate to use the word safe space, but it does just feel like a very welcoming environment. Like you literally just walk in and it's just like, oh, cool, we're all just here to have a good time and be a, I'm going to do it, guys, a community. So it's actually fantastic how you guys set that up.
Thank you. It's such a great space to work in. And it's great to, part of this is to have visibility and being out there. Absolutely. Right off of Biscayne Boulevard.
Can't get more visible. The only thing more visible would be if you had put this on I-95. Like, it's the only way to be more visible.
Pretty much. So guests of all ages will be able to come to the Pride Marketplace and peruse a curated selection of local LGBTQ plus vendors, nice. Artisans, creatives of all kinds. We've got clothing vendors, jewelry, someone who does woodworking, candles. And of course, there will be some free resources on health and mental wellness, which, of course, is so important, perhaps now more than ever.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And DJ Hot Pants will be spinning for the duration of the Pride Marketplace, which is it's 4 hours. It's from 3 to 7. There'll be, of course, food and drink specials, because what's Pride without food and drink?
Hello. It takes energy. You got to replenish it if you're celebrating.
Absolutely. And it helps the conversation sometimes.
It really does. It really does. And also, I got to say, like, if y'all haven't heard DJ Hot Pants' set, I don't even understand how to explain it to you or what you're waiting for, because it's like he does top 40, but then some deep cuts and some random old B-side from like 1983. Then there's a mashup. I mean, it's songs that you forgot you loved. That's how deep he goes in. And I freaking love him.
Oh, yeah. And totally. And over COVID, he was doing weekly happy hours where he was, you know, doing all these throwbacks and tributes to artists. And I mean, he's been amazing. He's been with the community dance since the very beginning in 2017. And we're so happy to have him back. He is also one of the artists that did a created an Arshtunes Spotify playlist for Arsht at Home. So check that out if you're interested. It's on the Arsht Center Spotify account, or go to arshtcenter.org and look up Arsht at Home. And so we're happy to have DJ Hot Pants back. And for families, of course, we'll have some arts and crafts. We are doing limited capacity but free Pour Your Art Out workshops, which is another initiative that came out of COVID. Pour Your Art Out. It's another play on words there.
The puns just keep coming at the Arsht Center, guys. It's just, I mean, they love wordplay over there. It's an art center. What more do you want?
Bursting with creativity. And so those will be fun for the entire family throughout the afternoon. And then,
once the sun sets.
Yeah, that takes us through the daytime portion. And if you're looking to extend the fun, starting at 6:30, we're going to be moving indoors onto the stage of the Ziff Ballet Opera House. Okay. So this is new to community dance.
For my own, like, is this the same space that had the Deborah Cox holiday concert?
Yes, 100%. Were you there for that too?
Of course I was. Shoot, Deborah Cox, and I get to support my local performing arts center. I mean, it was like y'all tailor made it for me.
Yes. So it's going to be very similar to that. I'll describe it for your listeners since they can't see it right now. But we essentially, we've taken the stage of the Ziff Ballet Opera House, which is where we have our Broadway shows, our ballets and operas. It's a huge stage, 18,000 square feet. And we built a stage on top of the stage.
How meta.
And have brought chairs, so it's a much more kind of intimate cabaret feel. Tables and chill. There's table service for food and drinks. You scan your QR code. It's all very safe and friendly and welcoming. And so that's the onstage setup. And so this year, we will have the show will start off at 6:30 with DJ Citizen Jane.
Miami native, right?
A Miami native. She'll be doing a happy hour set. So while people are starting to show up and get their tea dance on, she'll be playing some music for us. If you don't know her, maybe you do know her. She's the founder of Hialeah Pride, or one of the founders of, and was on the board, or is on the board of directors for Safe Schools of South Florida. So it's awesome to have someone like her.
And she was also recently featured, I believe it was a Modelo beer commercial. So, you know, I know my audience. You got to keep them in the liquor world sometimes.
just keep talking about drinking.
Exactly.
And so on stage we have a mix of music and dance. So DJ Citizen Jane is going to start it off, and that will transition into some dance performances. Okay. The first of which will be by dancers from Miami City Ballet. Nice. And this is all original work. One of their dancers, Elena Anderson, she choreographed this new piece called Tang. It was she choreographed it. Came up with the piece during quarantine, and it's kind of a queer family. You know, she's she's queer, her brother's queer, and then her brother who composed the music, I should say.
Oh, wow.
And then it's performed by two Miami City Ballet male dancers. So it's a duet. It's gay. That's something you don't always see.
This is true.
Right? And it's a really powerful piece that will be very cool for you to see. And then we move over to Randolph Ward, another dance piece, another original dance work. Randolph's piece is it's called The Queen of Drag, and it's a tribute to the life of William Dorsey Swan, who was an American gay liberation activist that was born into slavery and is known as the first documented person to lead a queer resistance group in the U.S. Like before Stonewall, this was... Yeah, and so it's a very powerful piece in three parts that Randolph has choreographed, and it's a mix of dance theater, drag, and Vogue. We'll be joined by CC Glitzer, drag queen, and Ken Donovan for the Vogue dancing. So we're really excited to have that piece as part of this.
I love it. It's like your own little version of historical, like legendary happening on the stage.
Yes. It's almost like a mini festival that gives you a bit of everything. And we're going to close it out with a rock and roll concert by Patrick and the Swayzes.
Love the name.
They are, if you haven't heard of them, they're from Key West, so keeping in the South Florida connection there. But they do a really high-energy mix of not only originals, but covers of party hits from the 50s and the 60s. It's going to make you twist and shout, and he does the splits. And, I mean, if you haven't seen his show, it's amazing. So we're really proud of this lineup for Pride for the community dance celebration. And that'll be from 6:30 to 9:30 in the Ziff Ballet Opera House.
That is fantastic. Like, honestly, I mean, I know you put all of this together. So first of all, thank you. Cause I know it takes a hell of a lot of effort to just, you know, coordinate. Listen, it takes me a lot of effort sometimes to coordinate two people in an interview. And you're coordinating, like, you know, an army of individuals to make sure everything goes off without a hitch. And if past community dances are any indication, it will go off without a hitch and it will be a huge success. And, you know, so thank you for all those efforts that you've put into it. Where can our listeners go to find out more information? You know, because, you know, they're listening in the car. They're going to say, oh, this sounds great. And then they'll forget about it by the time they get back. You know, they're like, where do I go to find out information? So,
of course, for more information on community dance, including the Pride Marketplace and the onstage performances in the evening, you can visit arshcenter.org. That's arshcenter.org. And I should mention, the Pride Marketplace is free, and the community dance onstage performances are $15 a person. It's limited capacity, indoor, comfortable. You've been to Live on the Plaza and Deborah Cox, so you know exactly what the experience is like.
I was actually about to ask you, can they get a table? Like, is it the same scenario?
Yeah, so you reserve it by the table. So we have tables of 1, 2, 3, 4. So various group sizes. You can come alone. You can bring friends. Everyone's, you know, invited.
You may go alone, but you're going to leave with friends if you do. You know, it's definitely a great environment to just, you know, meet new people and hang out and again, feel part of the community, as it were.
Drink to that.
Exactly. Well, Oscar, I mean, I know we're kind of closing out Pride Month at this point, right? You know, but I will say, I think it's beautiful what the Arts Center has been doing, what they continue to do. I can't wait to swing by. And actually, in my mind, I'm already looking forward to next year's because, again, you have spoiled me at this point, sir. Whereas in every year, it just gets better and better and better. So I'm like, all right, the ones I've been to in the past were great. This one sounds phenomenal. So next year, you know, yuck, everybody's going to be out of COVID mind a little more. Like, I don't know. They may just lower a drag queen, like, you know, from the sky in a helicopter or something. I don't know. You guys always just, you know, surprise and delight.
I will write that idea down and I will steal that idea.
I'm pretty sure Tiffany Fantasia would be up for that.
Yes, we'll have her back. She's hosted before. So, yeah, we thank you so much for this opportunity. And, you know, every year is a little bit different and that's part of the fun. So we hope that you will surprise and delight you at this year's and we'll see you at next year's. But definitely come this year on Saturday, June 26th, 3 p.m. for the Pride Marketplace, 6:30 p.m. for the concert.
Yep.
And we'll see you there.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, people, there's no excuse. There's food, there's music, there's dancing, there's stuff to buy. I mean, and it's right there on Biscayne Boulevard. Come on. It's not even like it's hidden or anything. All right, Oscar, thank you again for swinging by. It's always a pleasure to see you. I know you and I know each other from a couple of years back now, so it's nice to see a face that I know and like and hope to keep running into you at all these events.
Thank you. Likewise.
And we're back. It's weird because I never say that. It's always Darian who says that. And so it's weird for me to be like, yes. And we're back.
Yeah. And you said it in a very DJ way.
I'm trying. I don't want the listeners to have like PTSD or something after listening to me.
Guy?
Like, what's going on? This is not my show. I hate you. And then we get, you know, there's letters to the producer, which is me. So good luck.
Right.
but yeah, no, that you know, for those who are in Miami and want to attend, it's June 26th is the community dance. You can go to the Arts Center's website. One of the things that I loved, and it's funny because I think I went to the first one now in hindsight thinking about it, I didn't put two and two together that this all started actually as a reaction to the Pulse shootings. Oscar mentioned it in the interview. You know, it really did start off as a let's get together and commemorate this and show that we are a community and that we are together and united. And it's evolved into a celebration of that community. So I think that's again taking the negative and into a positive, right? It's that there's a beauty in that. So, you know, if you guys can go, please do. It's a fantastic event. And again, you know, you don't have to be gay to go. I guess it helps. But I mean, no, but you know, you can be an ally. I mean, I'm looking across the table right now at one of my favorite allies.
Thank you.
You know, and I'm not just saying that because me and your wife have already basically picked out your short shorts for the Miami Beach Pride in September.
Listen, man, I am basically, you know, whatever she puts out for me to wear.
You're like a kid. Yeah. You just show up in the morning
says, hey, put on this suit. Like, okay. Hey, what color dress are you wearing? Okay, I'll put on that same color shirt. You know, it makes things very easy. Yeah, I can do things like pick up my socks.
Okay, well, but socks have become like a personality thing lately,
yes,
right?
I do like socks with like some sort of print or pattern on them.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I pick up my own watch.
Okay. I love how you're like, I pick out my own watch. Like you've been like graduated to the big boy table.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and some of them are not even digital.
What?
Yes.
Do they all have like metal or some have plastic? What is there like a hybrid?
Hybrids.
Oh my god,
yeah, sure.
Look at you with the options.
Yeah. And ties. I love ties.
I used to be a very big tie person.
Yeah.
And then I just stopped caring about dressing up.
I've
just gotten to that point where like
I'm not there yet.
Okay, let me rephrase that. It's not that I don't care. Like when we have to go out to like a nice event, like I'm the first one who's like well, I have a 15s coming up in July, and it's like, I'm still figuring out what am I going to wear to the quinces. Like, in my mind, I'm like, I don't know what to wear. Never mind the fact that it's not my quinces. Right. It's not my daughter or my niece or my cousin, right? You know what I mean? But I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to wear? What do I have to take? And so, yes, I do care. But I used to be like about like whenever, like I would go out dancing. I look like a damn Christmas tree because like I would put on like two bracelets and a couple of rings and like maybe a chain and maybe I'd have a hat or a fedora or whatever. Like now when I go out, it's just like, you know what? I'm just going to put on a tank top and pants and we're going to call it a day.
That's the only way I've known you.
See, you didn't know me when I would put on the gangarias.
However, yeah. I see it in you.
You see, and I still have all of them. I will show you in my little cofrecito. Like, I still have all of my rings and my bracelets and everything. Occasionally, I bust them out.
Just give me a fashion show. But I want a full-on... full-on catwalk, all right?
Are we going to have an 80s montage?
Yeah, an 80s fashion
montage situation? All right. If it happens, listeners, I will post it on Instagram, just so we're very clear. I don't say things I don't promise. But so I'm a little thirsty, even though we're here drinking. Well, you're done with your whiskey. So it's time for our last sodas of the desert. So you know what? As the guest, I will defer to you to go first.
Thank you. So... you mentioned yesterday that this could be a La Soda Sin Gas.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
Darian is infamous for giving gasless sodas to people who suck.
One of the things that really, really irked me this week, I got up on Monday and I was like, you know what? The world chose violence.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it was awful.
That makes me sad. I'm gonna keep drinking.
The Florida State Board of Education unanimously voted to ban.
I think I know where this is going. But
you know where I'm going, right? Critical race theory in schools. Which, for those who don't know, critical race theory basically posits that racism is ingrained in the fabric of pretty much every system in our country.
Yeah. It basically wants you to take a critical eye,
right,
to the quote unquote system, and see where racism could be a part of the problem from the get go,
right. So it has now been outlawed to speak about this in the public school system.
Yeah,
this is, I think, the worst thing to happen to education in the state of Florida, maybe ever.
Really?
Because I am not a proponent of standardized testing.
But how will you know who's smarter than others? If you can't point to a test and say somebody memorized answers, how will ever know?
Oh, boy. So much to unpack there.
We'll bring you back for that one.
Yeah. So, but... I think that as an educator, myself, it is our job not simply to educate students.
Teach the test.
In the specific area in which they are in your class for. Mm-hmm. But if you can tie your subject into something that is germane to their lives.
Right.
You're a better teacher. And you have made the subject matter relevant.
Yeah,
I do this.
That's key,
right? I do this in my class as a literature teacher. I have no idea how history teachers are going to teach history.
They will, forgive the word, whitewash.
Yeah,
I'm going to take that back because that sounds like I'm being critical of the history teachers, right? And I don't think it's fair to them.
It's not on them. No, it's not on them.
What will wind up happening is that they will basically teach the test, right? Mm-hmm. They will teach the bare basics of, like, when was slavery abolished? What caused slavery? The cotton gin, like, you know what I mean? They'll literally just kind of like do the checklist that for all intents and purposes that I grew up with, you know, that's when we're going to learn about slavery this week. And here's the thing, and it was bad, and okay, great, and now they're free. Okay. I think that's what's going to wind up happening.
Bare bones. This is definitely what is in the textbooks.
Right.
We are not getting a comprehensive history.
Well, we're not getting a comprehensive history of anything, because our textbooks are old as fuck.
However, the discussions that I had with my history teachers, and with my literature teachers... and with any teacher who cared to talk about what was going on in society, these are the things that stuck with me most.
Of course.
And so I think that you are asking teachers to get in a boxing ring with both hands tied behind their backs.
Yeah.
And we're just going to fall flat on our faces. And we're going to fail ourselves. We're going to fail the students. And Floridians deserve better, especially as a state that was part of the Confederacy. We deserve better.
I just think it's, again, as a teacher, and I mean, you're a teacher, you know, at what point are you actually educating versus teaching? And I think that's, and it's interesting because you called yourself an educator. Now that I think about it, that's how I think I will start referring to people in the quote unquote teaching, you know, industry. Yeah. I was going to say industry. I'm such a marketer.
it is an industry. It absolutely is an industry.
But, you know, right? in that field.
We mentioned standardized testing, right? It's an
that's
industry.
That's true.
Someone's making a buck.
And I think, but that's true. There is a very big difference between a teacher and an educator. You know, a teacher just shows someone how to do something, right? Mm-hmm. There's value in that, right?
Of course.
Because like, shit, we're not born knowing how to walk. Someone has to teach us how to walk. You don't educate me on how to walk. You right. teach me how to walk, right? But what you guys do, the good ones, is educate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's taking the kids and taking, and again, I'll say this, some of my favorite teachers were my English teachers, because I think English also kind of lends itself because there's a lot of interpretation there and all that,
oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So they'll take you past just the face of it and actually ask you to think about things and apply your own experiences or think about other people's experiences, you know? And that's one of the beauties of reading, you know, novels and all that, is that you get to have that moment of like, well, I've never been, you know, in this situation, but oh shit, what would I do if I was in that situation? Well, okay, great, but I'm not because of this. Like, it's just, so I don't know. I will use the word educator moving forward. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Cool.
Yes, because I think it's fair. No,
yeah.
Granted, all educators are teachers, but all teachers are not educators. Let me make that very clear distinction.
As an educator who works with a handful of teachers.
There you go.
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
So that definitely is where my
that's where your gasless soda is going.
That's where my gasless soda is going.
All right. Well, so I guess the gasless soda is going to the Florida education.
Florida State Board of Education.
There you go. It's I'll never forget one time.
And let's throw in Governor DeSantis because that'll start with his thing.
You mean as a friend of mine said on Instagram, Governor Desastre?
Desastre, I like that.
Yes, I'm officially going to coin it. Thank you, Ernesto, for that. I'm taking it. And
I've heard a couple different plays on his name, but that might be the best one.
But Desastre, it kind of works, right? It kind of works. It's funny you mentioned the Board of Education because I was in high school, okay, and I remember overhearing a teacher say this to another teacher, that one day one of them went to the Board of Education for a meeting or something, you know, a benign reason. They just had to go down to downtown or whatever. And they were like, oh, look, they have a picture. You know, they had a painting of like a bunch of children or whatever. And one of the teachers turned to the other one. And she's like, yeah, that's the only way that they can remember that there's actually kids in the classroom. I graduated in 97. That was eons ago. So this is nothing new.
Well, and that sort of attitude still persists where the people running the show are so far removed from the classrooms that oftentimes, like, you know, pedagogy and the things that you use to actually educate students.
I don't know what pedagogy is.
Pedagogy is...
I was even trying to think of something cute and clever to say, and I couldn't. I'm like, I can't even think of anything that could possibly be.
Pedagogy is basically like what the system of education, not the school system, but your techniques.
Okay, got it. Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
let's think of it that way. That's probably the easiest way to explain pedagogy.
Okay,
teaching styles.
I thought it was a Pokemon for a minute.
Kind of sounds like it would be.
Okay,
yeah.
See, that was the clever response I was trying to get to earlier, but I needed time. So,
and it would say its own name too.
It would be. It would be like pedagogy.
That's perfect.
See,
that's exactly it.
It will show up in the next deck, and we'll have no claim to it because we don't own Pokemon.
No.
Yeah.
Damn it. Fuck.
On that note, so thank you. So okay, this is the State Board of Education in Florida, gasless soda. So in keeping with my last sodas for this month, again, Pride Month, I said I was going to make it a point to every week give a last soda to someone who made an impact in the LGBT community. And this week, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Marsha P. Johnson.
Okay.
Now, for those who don't know, Marsha P. Johnson is a activist and self-identified drag queen. And yes, Marsha P. Johnson is her drag name, but as anybody who's met a drag queen knows, you never know their real name. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally, Carla Croqueta, I don't know what her legal name is. Like, to me, it's Carla Croqueta. Like, I would run into her at, like, Publix. I'd be like, Carla! She right. wouldn't be in full drag. That's just how it is.
Whatever it is not as interesting as the drag name.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I don't make the rules.
So why do you care?
Right, I don't make the rules. That's yeah. just how it is. Like, right. you know, I'm sure there's
no one is calling Cher nobody... by her Christian name.
Well, her real name is Cher.
Yeah, but, I mean, giving all the, you know, middle name, last name.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, yeah. It's just Cher.
She's just Cher.
Yeah. So she was actually Marsha P. Johnson was one of the prominent figures in the Stonewall Uprising in 1969. Uh-huh. She's often credited for throwing the first rock at mm-hmm. the Stonewall riots, even though to her credit she says that it was not her. Mm-hmm. Because she said that she was at home getting ready when she heard that the riots were happening. She's like, I didn't throw the first rock, but I sure put a couple in my purse and went down there. So, you know, I'm just going to keep it short and sweet. You know, you can read about her, Marsha P. Johnson. You know, she was, again, prominent figure in the gay rights movement. And, again, a black drag queen. There's some question whether she was drag queen or transgender, but most history books have her as a drag queen, so I'm going to go that route. And again, this just goes back to the whole thing about representation. You know, the gay rights movement, don't forget, guys, you know, the people at the forefront were black and trans individuals. So, you know, to do gay pride and not acknowledge them in some way, shape, or form is really... This has become a very whitewashing referencing episode, and I didn't mm-hmm. mean it to be that way
yeah.
at all. But, you know, it's about representation, and representation comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. And you know what? It's what makes up the rainbow.
Yes.
So on that note, I will wrap up episode 160. I want to say it's 161. I think I may have sent 162 earlier. And that was a no-no. That was a faux pas, so apologies. But I want to thank you, David, for joining me, for filling
thank
in for Darian. I can't believe this is the first time
you've
ever guest hosted. Your wife has been on already twice.
Yes.
As yeah. guest host and twice as a guest.
Wow.
So she's been on four.
I've got some catching up to do.
You do have some catching up to do. But, yeah. But you know, hopefully we'll have you on more often when, you know, when one of us is sick or something.
Well, hopefully the fans liked it.
We'll keep up. The fans like what we give them at
go.
This point.
Yeah. You tell them what they like.
Unless we yeah. hear otherwise, we assume that they're enjoying everything.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, trust me, if they don't like it, they will complain. I say that actually because we do have people who have sent us emails literally just after we have a conversation about anything to tell us, you know, that was so meaningful, that was so great. And,
oh,
and
that's fantastic.
It sounds cheesy as hell, but that really is one of the best reasons to keep doing this is when mm-hmm. we get those emails and those DMs from people saying, loved your conversation. It meant so much to me because of XYZ. And so, you know, thank you listeners for doing that. And please feel free to keep doing that as well.
That's so great.
Yeah.
You guys have a meaningful podcast on Mount Geekmore. We, you know, we geek out about comic books and movies. And-
hey, as someone who's guested on Mount Geekmore, okay, I have to say it is meaningful because if not, how would we know who are the top four TV sitcom best friends?
That's true.
Okay,
that's
you're doing true. A public service, sir.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you can get a tax exemption for it.
It wouldn't surprise me if Mary's already getting it and not telling us a damn thing about it.
But that's how he can keep the podcast going because of the tax exemption. So he doesn't have to tell you because you're able to do it because of it. It's whatever. A vicious cycle.
I'm here
for
the fun of it.
Exactly. So, one of the guys, thank you again for stopping by, and thank you, David, again, seriously for you know popping in and helping me get
absolutely.
This week's episode out. So, don't forget, guys. Wait, I'm trying to remember how is that Darian says it. Don't forget your croqueta, pastelito, and cafecito. This episode 161, and again, we hope you listened, laughed, and learned. And we will be back next week. So, cuídense, mi gente. Bye. Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Llano, produced by Ismael Llano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michael Angelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.